Well, it is Tuesday and time for book picks on our list from our independent bookseller of the week, Rachel Persons of North Shire Bookstore, or as we say in the States, North Shire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs in Manchester Center, Vermont, joins us this morning to present some of the finest authors and books that are making their way to store shelves this holiday season. Rachel, good morning. How are you? It's a delight, as always, to see you.
I'm great and happy to see you as well.
Well, where would you like to begin? You have a terrific list.
Yes, I'm going to start with Swing Time by Zadie Smith, which just came out. Zadie Smith is an amazing treasure of an author. This is her latest. It deals with two girls growing up in London in the 1980s. It crosses decades. It copes with issues of friendship and class. Both girls are aspiring dancers, so we have all of their interest in classic 1930s movies. I don't want to give away too much of what happens in the book. It's a book that I feel like everyone should read. Everyone can love. Zadie Smith is just such a brilliant writer that a description of a dance scene from a movie you've never seen becomes riveting in her hands.
And absolutely beautiful. I was at my local independent this weekend, and I was looking for, it was on my list, and I picked it up, and I'm about 80 pages through it, and I'm just loving it.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
Zadie Smith, Swing Time. All right.
Next up is a cookbook, but it's a lot more than a cookbook. It's called American Cake by Anne Byrne. It is
you had me at cake.
Exactly. It's a history of the cake in America. So it starts, each chapter is a different time period. So there's a chapter of colonial cakes. There is a chapter of 1950s and 60s cakes. And each chapter includes not just these gorgeous recipes, which, believe me, are gorgeous and delicious, and my family is in heaven now that I have this book.
I bet.
But it also has, where did these cakes come from? What was the social climate at the time that made these cakes popular? What sort of ingredients would have been available? What techniques were coming in? It's completely fascinating. I'm a history geek. If there is anyone in your life who is both a history geek and a baker, they need this book.
Anne Byrne's American Cake. And I would assume great recipes for great cakes.
Oh, delicious. Incredible. The gingerbread, the colonial gingerbread, is to die for.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of gingerbread. Mm-hmm. American Cake is the name of the book. Excellent. All right. Next.
So next up is J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the illustrated edition.
Oh, this year two, right?
Yes, year two. Scholastic last year started putting out these stunningly beautiful illustrated editions of all of the Harry Potter books. They're doing one a year. They're sort of big coffee table gift book size with the most incredible art. This one, actually, I brought the store's copy. It does not belong to me. I covet it deeply. If there is anyone in your life who is a Harry Potter fan, especially a 20-something who grew up on the series, they probably really want this. Children really want this. I know that both of my kids have been sort of drooling over it in the store. It is really stunningly done. Almost every page is illustrated. Incredible, incredible art throughout. So it's really a beautiful book.
I love these. And they are absolutely gorgeous. I was thinking, however, the other day that by the time we get to year six and seven, these are going to be very, very big books.
I wonder if they're going to have to split them in two because, you couldn't pick up.
Because the first novels were relatively short.
They're much shorter
but
than
the later
yes,
ones
by the
were
end.
Mammoth.
Yes. I suspect that they will be cutting them into two and doing, half
part one,
per
part
year.
Two.
Exactly. Because you just, you couldn't pick it up and hold it by the end.
Give the poor child a hernia.
Exactly. So next up, I have a children's book. This is a chapter book that I would say is probably for fourth through sixth or even seventh grade. It's Ghost by Jason Reynolds. It is something that I read with a book group that I lead with children, and the kids all loved it. I loved it. It was a National Book Award finalist this year, so I'm not the only one who says it's terrific.
No.
Ghost is the nickname of a young boy named Castle Crenshaw. He has had a lot of problems in his life. Everything pretty much that could go wrong in his childhood has gone wrong. He discovers that he is a runner. He can run fast. It is pretty much the only thing that he can do. And he pretty much by accident finds his way onto a running team with a coach who is an Olympic medalist. And this coach is trying to save Castle's life. Mm-hmm. It is really a lovely story. all of the kids on the team have their own things that they're dealing with, and you sort of learn that difference between perception and reality, that you can look at someone and think, oh, they've got their stuff together, I'm the one who's all messed up. Right. And then over time, and these relationships building on the team, you discover that there's so much more. So this is a great book for children in your life because of the sports theme and because it's written quite simply. It's actually a good book also for if you have a child in your life who's a reluctant reader. It's a really good gift book for them.
It's called Ghost, and it's by Jason Reynolds and a National Book Award finalist. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful book. Excellent.
So another children's book is a graphic novel, Snow White by Matt Phelan. This is another good gift book for a reluctant reader. I would say it's also fourth or fifth grade and up. It is a telling of Snow White set in New York during the Great Depression. The seven dwarves are seven homeless street boys. It's a fairly gritty interpretation of Snow White. I would not give it to a younger child than fourth grade. It's taking the original fairy tale goes pretty fully dark, and this does not
shy. Do the dwarves swear?
You know, I don't remember. I don't think there's any language.
Okay, all
there's
right.
There's sort of 1930s slang.
Be great if Grumpy just let go a couple of F-bombs, but all right, fine.
So these are, they're homeless street boys who adopt and are sort of adopted by Snow White herself. It's really a lovely, lovely book. The art in it, which unfortunately I cannot pass through the radio. I wish I could. But it's these gorgeous charcoal sketches throughout. It's one of the most beautiful graphic novels for adult or children that I've seen in quite a while. It's really, you know, I find myself just riveted. Each panel is a really beautiful artwork.
That's beautiful.
Matt Phelan is an incredibly talented graphic novelist, so I was super excited to see this.
Snow White, a graphic novel, published by Candlebook Press.
Yes.
Excellent.
And then I have a couple of picture books, because I know this is the time of year when people are often looking for great picture books for the young people in their lives.
This season.
This first one is actually by a local author. John Briggs lives in the Capital District. The book is called Leaping Lemmings. It's very, very silly, but with a very wonderful message. So we have a group of lemmings. They all, as lemmings do, like to do the same thing. They don't like to do anything different. And then we have our one lemming who, well, he doesn't want to eat the things the other lemmings want to eat. He wants to eat pepperoni pizza with hot sauce. Thank you very much. He doesn't want to do exactly what the other lemmings are doing. And, of course, is shunned for this and goes off into the world to try to find a place for himself. Instead, winds up coming back to his friends because there's no place like being with the other lemmings, and saves our lemming friends, all of his lemming friends, from jumping off of a cliff because sometimes it's a good thing to be different. So there's a really great message in a very, very silly book.
So it's a good way to explain the election to the children.
I suppose. I suppose it is.
It's Leaping Lemon. Leaping Lemmings by John Briggs, and it's beautifully illustrated by Nicola Slater. Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks like a lot of fun. Lemmings are just fun to watch.
They are. Yeah, they just, are very,
very
goofy
comedic
little creatures. Yes. Next up is another picture book, They All Saw a Cat by Brendan Wenzel. He's an illustrator who's been sort of out in the world for a while. This is the first book that he wrote and illustrated. And I would not be surprised to see this with a big shiny Caldecott medal on it come January. It is telling, basically, a cat walks through the world and different creatures see the cat. And as each creature sees the cat, we have art from that creature's perspective showing what the cat looks like. So we see what our cat looks like to a fish, to a flea, to a mouse. And it's really, it's all told through the art. That language is very, very simple, but it's scientifically accurate. So the author worked with the science of what the perspective would be and also how different creatures' eyes work. So there's even a bat seeing the cat and it's just little dots of light. So it's one of those books that works on many levels. It works for the really little children because it's simple and it's beautiful. It works for older children as a way of saying, hey, we all see the world differently. And also, this is the science of how different creatures see the world differently.
Oh, that's really cool. So yeah, especially the perspective part. But even the, yes.
That, yeah, see,
oh,
like here's the worm sees the cat, and the worm is in the earth and just sees the cat through the way the earth moves around him. Things like that. It's really quite riveting.
That's beautiful.
But it also works for a toddler who is just hearing the words and seeing the pictures.
All right, so this may be our Caldecott winner.
I honestly, this is my pick for the Caldecott.
Okay.
We'll see.
That's
I've been wrong more often than I've been right on the Caldecott, but it is my pick.
It's fun to pick, though.
It is. It is. And then last but not least, we have Oscar and the Eight Blessings. This is a book that actually came out last year. It's the one sort of older book on my list, but it flew a little bit under the radar. It's a Hanukkah book, but it's a lot more than a Hanukkah book. It is a picture book about a young boy who arrives alone in New York City as a refugee in, I think, 1938, after Kristallnacht. There is a section at the very beginning of the book that talks very gently about what has happened to him that's led to him being a refugee, but that actually appears before the title page, which I think is a brilliant piece of book design
because
it gives the parent the choice, do I read this section? Do I not read this section based on their own child? Oscar has arrived in New York alone. He is looking for his aunt. He knows he needs to walk up Broadway. That's all he knows. It is the seventh night of Hanukkah and also Christmas Eve, which is historically true that after the year of Kristallnacht, those two holiday dates coincided. His father has told him before he got on the boat to come to America, look for blessings, look for people being kind. They're everywhere. And he has been alone and scared and hungry for so long that he's pretty much forgotten that. But as he walks north on Broadway looking for his aunt, he finds eight blessings, eight people doing simple kindnesses for him. Not necessarily Jewish, not necessarily anyone who he knows, just people looking out for other people and being kind. It is a really lovely book and feels very timely now.
Absolutely. Oscar and the Eight Blessings. It's a gorgeous, beautiful illustration.
It is. It is a beautifully done book. Every piece of the design of this book is beautiful. The writing is beautiful. The first time I read it, I was bawling.
Yeah.
But it is something that I think, you know, I read it to my children and they weren't upset by it. I was upset by it. They found it beautiful. They liked it. But I think that the sort of devastating emotional impact is something that an adult is going to be keyed into, and a child will just see this lovely parable of looking for kindness in the world.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick programming note, but on Thursday morning on the show at 11:30, we're going to have our friends from the Yiddish Book Center who have chosen some wonderful Hanukkah gift books for children and adults, mm-hmm. and they're going to be on and sharing with us, so we're excited about that as well. But this is a great place to start. It's Oscar and the Eight Blessings. Anything else you would like to share with us?
That was my whole list.
Excellent.
For the day.
Well, that's good. You came in right in on time, and events are at a minimum because you've got all those people in the store shopping.
Yes, it turns into all hands on deck in the Christmas season.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, nothing wrong with that. For more information on Northshire Bookstore and the great work they do, you can visit their website. It's northshire.com. Visit them in Manchester Center, Vermont, or Saratoga Springs, New York. And, of course, you can see the list at wamc.org/bookpicks, and I think you have it up on your site as well. Mm-hmm. Northshire.com or wamc.org/bookpicks. Rachel, beautiful, beautiful books. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. The same to you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.